Joel. Surprise, surprise. Now, first of all, who was Joel? Well, Joel in the Bible was a prophet. That's where he gets his name from. And he was a prophet in the Bible. And actually, it was amazing. He prophesied or predicted the things that God was going to do to the land of Israel. And historically, so many of those things have come to pass, and they can be verified. Historically, he prophesied there were going to be certain famines and certain plagues and certain attacks against the enemies that would come along and overtake the nation. And those things actually happened, and you can historically verify that what he predicted came to pass. Then he also prophesied and predicted some things that are coming to pass in our present day. And we'll talk about those as well. And also, he prophesied some things that are yet going to happen, and we'll have a little chat about that too. But what's the name Joel mean? Well, it's a great name. It means one true God. Now, a prophet is somebody who is basically a messenger of God, who reveals to us and shows us and tells us who God is, what he's like, and what he wants to say to us. He's a person who's Spirit, whose power and presence rests upon, so that when they speak and when they act, the presence and the power and the Spirit of God moves through them, so God can reveal himself, make himself known, and do stuff through them and for them and on behalf of the people that he's been sent or she's been sent to speak to. Prophets were difference makers. They were sent by God to make a difference in the world, to bring about the change in individuals' lives, change in communities, and change in nations that God wanted to bring. And that change was always intended by God to be good change, to be a blessing. So when he says, when another prophet says, "My plans are to give you a hope and a future, to bless you, not to harm you," that is the heart of God. That's what God wants. The Bible says God is good, and he wants to bring good things into our lives. So when a prophet comes along and speaks the message of God, change or bring change, it's to actually bring us into good things, into blessing, into the future that God wants to give us, because he's got all these plans stored up for us, like we talked about earlier on with Joel's dedication. So that's what a prophet does. And Joel's name was called, it means one true God. And when the parents of Joel back in Bible times named him, I think that they were guided by God to name him this particular name. And as you look into the Bible, you often see that the names that people gave Bible people were not just like you go on the internet, because I didn't have the internet then, and think, let's think of a good name. They were guided by the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, to give them a particular name, because that name meant something. So every time somebody saw Joel the prophet, it was a big signpost saying, there is a one true God. And because there's a one true God, there's a meaning in life. There's a purpose in life. Because there's a one true God, you can get to know him and you can know his blessing. And so every time somebody caught eyes with Joel or listened to his words or saw him walking down the street or somebody says, "Hi, Joel," oh, there goes Joel. "Joel, can you make a cup of tea?" Well, they didn't have tea in those days. Well, they might have had tea in those days, but you never know. But every time the name of Joel was mentioned, it was a signpost and a message just by who he was that there's a one true God. And of course, this little Joel this morning, every time we see little Joel and watch him running and kicking a football and growing up, and Joel, it's time for tea, and when his name is called out in class when he goes to school, Joel, and they go, "Yes, miss." Every time the name Joel is mentioned, it actually, for people who know what the meaning is, it's like a sign, it's like a message saying, there's one true God. And because there's a one true God, there's a meaning in life, you can have a purpose in life, you can get to know him, and you can know his blessing and his purpose. Joel, this little Joel, is as much a signpost to us in this day, in this time, as the prophet Joel, because that's what his name means. And every time we see him, we can know that God is saying, you can get to know me. And that was the purpose of today's dedication, that Joel would get to know him and fulfill God's purposes for their life. Now, In the Bible times, the Spirit of God would come upon special people for special tasks at special times. So we had Moses, who delivered the Israelites from Egypt. Samson, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he became strong, like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Who else? Gideon rescued people from a whole army, and he was just a little lad. David, that we just read about, he said the Holy Spirit was upon him. And the Spirit of God came upon select people, select times, for select tasks. But Joel, the prophet, prophesied something absolutely amazing. And he prophesied that a time would come when the Holy Spirit, the presence and the power of God, could come upon anybody who wants him. So in the past, special people, special times. Moses, Elijah, Samson, the like, Noah. Special people, special times. Most of us don't get a look in. But the prophet Joel prophesied that day would come when anybody who wants the presence and the power of God with them, anybody can have him. Should we have a look at that verse and that prophecy? Is it really encouraging? Here it is. This is the prophecy of Joel. And afterward, note that word, afterward. So there's something going to happen. And then after that happens, this is going to happen. Afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people, not just special select people, all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Can you see what it's saying? God, presence of God will be with people, and they will begin to recognize God's direction, message, voice, purpose for their own lives. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. What an amazing prophecy. So the question to ask is this. If it says afterwards, what is that significant thing that has to happen before this happens? And has it happened? That's a good question, isn't it? Are you following me? Yeah. Okay, excellent. So the special thing that happened before this was very simple. It was the birth, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of Jesus. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? It was Jesus coming at Christmas, dying at Easter for all the things that we've done wrong. Remember this, that he didn't die because the Romans got him. He died because there was a plan that when he died upon the cross, he would take away all the wrongs that we've done wrong so we can have a friendship with God. The Bible says that our sins were carried in his body on the cross. And the punishment that our sins deserve were poured about on Jesus so we can get forgiven. It's amazing when you think about it, because let's face it, we've all messed up, haven't we? I mean, we've all like done things wrong and sinned and done things we regret and feel embarrassed about, and our consciences say, oh, I wish I hadn't done that, and, you know, kick the cat and shout at the budgie and things like that. You know, I'm parking on double yellow lines. You know, that's terrible. Surprised they let me speak here, you know. No, but you know, we've all done it, haven't we? We've all got the T-shirt messed up. And the Bible says, well, actually, because we've let one another down and hurt one another, it's like a crime of the universe, like a crime against God. So there is a punishment. But the great thing is, at Easter time, Jesus took the punishment that we deserve. And then he rose again on the third day. And that's the thing. So it says afterwards, that's the great event. He says afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Well, how do you know that's true, Julian? You might ask the question. It's a good question. Glad you asked. Okay. Well, this is what happened. After Jesus was risen from the dead, he visited his disciples and a whole 500 other people, and it was historically documented. And then one day when the disciples and a whole bunch of people were praying, guess what happened? The Holy Spirit, like Joel prophesied, landed on all of them. And they ran into the streets of Jerusalem and began to proclaim the amazing things of God. And it was 9 o'clock in the morning. And all the visitors, because it was a busy town, looked at all these people declaring the amazing things of God. And they went, what are all these people doing all this? Are they drunk or something? They've gone crazy. And then after that, Peter, the apostle, remember Peter the apostle? He stands up and he says this. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you in Jerusalem, let me explain to you, listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's only 9 in the morning. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So he's so Jesus is alive, he's come alive. That's the big event. And afterwards, he says, no, all these people proclaiming the great things of God because the Holy Spirit's come upon, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Well done, Joel. Keep up the good work. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And he's repeating the prophecy. Do you see that? I'll pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit on those days, and they will prophesy. In other words, listen, anybody now who follows Jesus, who puts their trust in the one true God, can have the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit with them, guiding them, speaking to them, being involved in their lives. It's not just for special people. We're all included. And this is a prophecy that came to pass after the resurrection of Jesus, and it's still coming to pass today. It's in the last days. Now, there's the last days of this. It's the time between Jesus was resurrected and the time between he returns and says, closing time, everybody. It's like, okay, call that the end of the world as we know it. It's not the real end because God is going to sort everything out. I'll talk about that in a minute. But it says, the last days, by the time Jesus rose to the time Jesus returns, there's an opportunity for anybody who turns to the one true God and goes, count me in, you say, brilliant, he says. You can have the Holy Spirit too. You can have my presence and my blessing and my goodness. I can be your friend. I can speak to you. I can guide you. I can make a difference in your life. All these brilliant plans that I've got for you can come to pass. And it's not just for special people like Moses and Gideon and Samson and David. It's for men and women, boys and girls, everyone. And this is the fulfillment of the prophecy Joel. Isn't that fantastic? So this great significant thing had happened, and the Holy Spirit came. And I don't know why I wrote these notes. I'm not paying any attention to them. Okay. So that's really good. And then the people said this. After they heard this message of Peter, which is a fantastic message, they go, this is really great. How can I get some of that? How can I get in on the action? How can I have the presence and the power and the goodness of God in my life? How can if it's for everyone, you know, where do I sign? What do I do? How do I apply for the job? And when the people heard this, on the one hand, they were cut to the heart because they thought, oh, goodness me. We're the ones who put Jesus on the cross. So they thought, oh, what have we done? But then, the great thing about Jesus, he forgives us. And then Peter said this. They said, what shall we do? And then Peter replied, repent. That means turn away from your sins. Be baptized. That's when you'll publicly say, I'm going to follow Jesus through the waters of baptism. You know, you're saying, okay, I don't care what you think. You may think I'm a wimp and I walk with a limp, but I am going to stand up for Jesus, you know, because this is really important and I want what God wants for me. So you get rid of your fear. That's sometimes the first thing we've got to repent of, isn't it? A fear of what people think. Well, I won't become a Christian because what will my next door neighbor think and what will my mates think at work or in college? And think, you know? And that's one of the biggest stumbling blocks to becoming a Christian sometimes. I thought, I tell you what, trade that for the presence of God any day. Once you've got the presence of God, you don't care what people think. Because it's like David, God is with you, don't be afraid. So, Peter says, can you read it? You're following it all right. Peter says, repent, which is turn away from your sins, be baptized in water, stand up for Jesus, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise of Joel that he prophesied is for you and your children and all who are far off and everyone whom the Lord our God will call. It's for you. Isn't that fantastic? So every single one of you here today can have the presence of Jesus, the presence of the Holy Spirit, forgiveness of sins, God with you, his plan, his love in your life, and it's free because Jesus has done it. And that's what the Apostle Peter said that we have to do. So what do? We turn from our sin. We're prepared to declare that Jesus, I believe in Jesus at some point through baptism, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then you become a messenger and a signpost for God as well. And not only that, this is really interesting. This is the end. There's another bit of his prophecy which we'll wrap up on. Not only that, you will be saved from all future judgment, which is why it talks about this message being good news. For the prophet Joel and Peter also predicted something else. At the end of that prophecy, I haven't read it all, but these are the last lines of the prophecy. He says, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. Sounds a bit like a Hollywood movie, doesn't it? The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the glorious and great day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is predicting the return of Jesus. So Joel said some stuff to Israel that came to pass. He said some stuff about Jesus being resurrected and the Holy Spirit coming, that the disciples experienced, that we can experience now. It's still happening. It's happening now. It's coming to pass what he prophesied. But he said there's a day coming. It's called the glorious day of the Lord. And it will be a day when God comes to put all the wrong that's in the world right. But all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved from that day. See, many people say to me, if there's a God, why is there so much wrong in the world? Why doesn't he stop it? That's a good question, isn't it? The thing is, you see, if he stopped sin, if he said, right, I'm going to judge this sin and stop it, yeah? If he said, right, okay, closing time, right now, it's not only Adolf Hitler, it's not only all the sex slave trade in the world right now, it's not only all the corruption, the arms, the people who are being exploited, it's not only the terrible things that go on that will be stopped and judged, it's my sin and your sin. If he comes to stop everything, everything has to be stopped and judged. Does that make sense? So he's given what he calls the last days. It's a gap. It's an opportunity to repent. It's an opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord to get forgiven. It's an opportunity to say, forgive me, Lord, so when that day comes in your return, or when I die and stand before you, I am forgiven because I've repented and believed in you, and therefore I don't have to accept the consequences of my sin because Jesus did, and I accept that in my place. So it's called the great and dreadful day of the Lord because it is a day, it's going to be an amazing day when all the wrong in the world is going to be put right. And God is going to say, enough is enough. I'm stopping it. I'm dealing with it. I'm putting it right. And the whole world is going to be recreated. And there's not going to be any mess up in the world anymore. It's going to be fantastic. Like the Garden of Eden restored. It's fantastic. And you think, oh, It sounds good, but am I ready for that day? You may be, if you put your faith in Christ, because you've been forgiven. But if you're not sure, can I say this today? You can be. Because look at what it says. This is great. This is why it's called good news. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from the judgment. Saved from the consequence of their sin. Saved from it. Forgiven. So you've got nothing to fear. So I'm going to be honest with you. If I were to die right now, I hope I don't, but if I were to do, right, and I'm there, God, my goodness, he's talking about it, he's gone and done it. Now, that's commitment to the job. You know, if I were to die right now, I would be absolutely sure, without a no doubt assured, that I would go to heaven and not be judged for my sins. Why? Because a number of years ago now, I called on the name of the Lord. I put my faith in Jesus. I turned to him. I said, forgive me, and his presence is with me. The fulfillment of the prophet Joel, I'm living in that. And if Christ were to return now, or I were to die now, I am saved from the judgment. Isn't that fantastic? Free. I've got nothing to worry about. You know, nothing to worry about. And everybody who's done that has nothing to worry about. The question I want to ask you today is this. Are you sure that you have nothing to worry about? Has there been a day where you've called upon the name of the Lord? Is there a day when you said, today is the day I'm going to turn from my wrong and I'm going to say, I believe you, Jesus. Give me your spirit. Be with me. I am going to nail my colors to the mast like you nailed my sin to the cross and I'm going to receive you as my Lord and Savior. Have you done that? Have you? Because if you haven't, can I say with a sincere heart, the promise is for you. You can have the presence of God, this forgiveness. And it's by turning from what you know to be wrong, saying, Lord Jesus, forgive me, I believe in you. Let me live for your plan all the days of my life. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be rescued, forgiven, saved, whatever terminology you like. It's for you. And right now, I'm going to ask us to close our eyes in prayer. And anybody who would like to call upon the name of the Lord, right, I'm going to invite you, whilst every eye is closed and every head is bowed, right where you are, to stand. And that's you saying, Lord, I'm turning, I'm believing, I'm going to pray for you. And in that moment of prayer, God is going to forgive you. He's going to be with you. And he's going to do what the Bible says. He's going to save you. And you will have nothing to fear about dying or the return of Jesus. So some of you, your hearts are beating right now. You're thinking, oh, just let go of the fear. This is more important than anything else. So if you'd like to stand in the presence of God while the only person who's looking is me and God, you can stand now and I'm going to pray for you. And this is your moment. So do it now, and I will pray for you. I'm going to pray now. Father, I pray for each one who's put their trust in you this morning. I pray your blessing, your forgiveness, and the presence of your Spirit to come and remain, that you'll honor the standing up for you. And today will be a change that will last forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Take your seat, and God bless you. Over to you, Suzanne.
Thank you, Julian. That was excellent. It was really